Welcome to Table Talks with Kay Woodward. Married for more than 43 years, Kay and her husband Galen have three married sons, nine grandchildren, and are longtime pastors in Albuquerque, New Mexico. With the recent release of her new cookbook, which is filled with treasured recipes and stories, she's excited to bring you into her world of faith and family. So, take a seat at the table with Kay as she welcomes special guests from varied backgrounds and stages of life to dive into relevant and important topics of today. Please enjoy today's episode.
On today's podcast, we're going to be talking to Jessica Woodward, Joanne Baldwin, and Jordan McKee. We're going to be talking about unleashing our creativity. Wait, you may say, I'm not the creative type. Well, guess what? Same here. Me either. But join me as we gain fantastic insights that make creativity accessible for everyone. Welcome to today's podcast. I am really excited about this episode. I have my daughter-in-law, Jessica Woodward, here, and my really good friend, almost 40 years, Joanne Baldwin, and my friend, Jordan McKee. And you are in the presence of some of the most creative minds I know. That's this group right here. And I already said in the intro to this, I want you to listen to this whole podcast because what I've learned in researching creativity, because I would say that I'm not creative, but I've learned that creativity is so much more than what we were talking about, when we were discussing this earlier, is so much more than doing crafts. So when I think of creativity, so this is true, I think of vacation Bible school and the craft time and popsicle sticks and what are those things you twist? Paper.
Pipe cleaners
and popsicle sticks and glue, Elmer's glue. So that's where my mind goes, is a craft. And so I'm not a crafty person. I don't even really like to do crafts. So it's interesting that I chose this for a podcast, but you guys have so much amazing information. So I mentioned, Jess is my daughter-in-law and you, oh my goodness, every beautiful thing. So we do all attend the same church where my son is now the pastor at Citizen Church in Albuquerque. And so we do a lot of events together. But a few years ago, Jess started working with major events like Easter, Christmas, and you do a creative, you're the project manager of all things creative for Flourish, which is our huge women's ministry at our church. And that's just, it's just floors me beyond that. So I said, what's the title of your business? And I know that you don't have a business like per se. She homeschools 2 days a week. Her kids are in school. She coaches at her kids' elementary school. Your degree is in biology, which is so interesting that we're talking about creativity and her degree's in biology. What made you creative? I mean, is your mom or dad creative? Are they creative? Or are you just, is your sister creative?
Oh, my mom and sister are not. It's my dad. My dad can make anything. He can make something out of nothing. As we've all seen. He's helped throughout all the years.
He's your builder.
So when I have a problem and I don't know how to figure it out, I call my dad. Then I call Joanne and Brand. And between them, we can make anything.
That's amazing. And Joanne, I met you right after you had your son, Chris. So he's probably about to be
39. He'll be 40.
So that's how long I've known you. And we've attended the same church together all those years. And you designed and carried out all three of our sons' weddings, all three so uniquely different and so beautiful. You can do florals like no one I have ever known. And I know that you're trying to retire. Sometimes you're trying to, what you do with florals are, it's truly unbelievable. It's such a gift. And then you have a husband you can boss around to build things for you. And he's like, he was a builder. He was a police officer, but then he was a builder. And so that just goes together unbelievably. So you own a company called Black Swan Events and do every kind of event for your job imaginable, from corporate events to weddings to, I mean, just everything and anything in between. But the biggest blessing is that you do give all that to our church too. You do so much for our church. Like Jess mentioned, with your husband, Brian, and you guys collaborate, I think is a good word, on really every major event. I know over the last, 40 years, everything, but it changes over time. And Jordan, it's just really become, I mean, when I met you, you were just in the young adult group at church and you're still young, but you were young and you're now married, have two kids. Jess has two children, or my grandkids, but you have two kids. And, you worked at our church, like as a paid employee for several years.
Yeah, 5 years.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. And then you stayed home to have, you wanted to mom your kids at home. And, so fun fact, Jordan designed, did all the graphics, all the design for the cookbook that I launched in the fall. So we talked about that on this podcast, but that entire thing, and I could have do a whole podcast just on that. So I know your level of creativity because you took truly an abstract idea and we really didn't make that many changes.
No.
With it.
No.
You took a whole abstract idea and handed it to me and I went, it was just, it was the most unbelievable time. And if you don't have the cookbook, if you do have it, you know it's beautiful. If you don't have it, you need to get it because the artwork alone, it is a beautiful piece for your kitchen, even if you don't cook. But that's them. This is, these are the people that I feel like you guys are a gift, not only to me, but to our church and so many things we do. So let's just jump right in. I want to know, I just asked you, Jess, how you discovered your flair for creativity, but I mean, the first things I saw you be creative at was when you started having kids. Yeah. Your kids' birthday parties. Yeah. I mean, back when you just had one, for sure. I mean, they were a production. And I've often said to you, you should charge big bucks to plan children's birthday parties, but I don't think people could afford you. The time and energy that you put into...
I love you.
I know. Because I just made the food to go with the creativity, but you've told me before that your creativity really started when you were a little girl.
It did. From the time I was little, I've always loved cooking and baking. So my grandma Virginia, my dad's mom, taught me how to fry an egg all on my own at 4 years old. I'd be spending the night and be in bed and be like, Grandma, I'm hungry. And she'd be like, well, go fry yourself an egg. So I'd pull out my stool, get the pan, the lard, because that's what she used, and I would flip an egg perfectly without popping the yolk.
You know, that's an art to frying an egg, because I'm really picky about that. So, I mean, you just always, well, you're a doer. You're such a hands-on person, and in a few minutes we'll get into so much of how you use that, you know, in events and stuff. But Joanne was a professional ice skater. When I met you, you were teaching ice skating lessons still, and you had competed. Mm-hmm. And so I know we're both in our 60s now, so you were in your 20s when I met you, and you were still, isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
How are we this old?
I don't know how that happened.
I don't know how that happened. In just a minute, we got old. But you were an ice skater, so I'm thinking the choreography, the outfits, just the whole, that is a beautifully creative sport. Mm-hmm. So that has to be. But where did you get, when did you start doing what you do?
Well, I think growing up, my grandmother was an artist. Her favorite medium was pastel and oil. My grandfather built beautiful cabinets and furniture. He built furniture. So I grew up in my grandma's art room, watching her do art and her teaching me how to draw and color and shade and all those things. And
then I'm really slacking up with my grandparents.
And then my grandfather, you know, I would just sit for hours watching him create the most beautiful furniture, carving and turning on a lathe and, you know, all these beautiful things came out of his workshop. So I think that was a lot of it. But how I ended up in the career I'm in was completely, it was a furthest thing from my mind. I thought I would be out on the ice at 80 with my little cane banging on my, you know, and then God changes the trajectory of your life. And so I quit coaching skating so I could have children, be a mom, because they wouldn't have known who I was. It was a lot of hours.
Yes.
And then one of the young ladies that was in our youth group, she and her fiance had just graduated from UNM, and she called and said, can we go to lunch? And I said, well, sure. And she said, I need to talk to you about something. And I was like, okay. And so She said, I've been to every florist in town. I know what I want for my wedding. I'm getting married in June. It was 8 weeks from her wedding. And she said, nobody wants to do what I want. I want you to do my wedding. And I was like, this is a really bad idea. I mean, yes, I could just stick some flowers in a vase. I mean, we have beautiful flower gardens growing up. I grew up in the South Valley on quite a few acres, but that's a whole different thing. I didn't know how to make a bouquet or a corsage or a boutonniere. I didn't know how to buy flowers wholesale. I didn't know anything. And I thought, ooh, this is not good. And so I promised her I would pray about it. And I said, well, I'll get a hold of the local wholesaler and see, but I really don't think this is going to work out. And so I went to the wholesaler and they said, oh yeah, we have a floral school. The lady who owns it's right in there. You need to go talk to her. And I was like,
because you're sure hoping they would.
I was assuming they would say, this is a really bad idea. You should not do this, right? I was waiting for pushback.
I can't remember this podcast to be over, so I'm going to ask you who it was. I can't remember, but anyway.
So Susan Qualls.
Oh,
Susan and Leo. So anyway, so I go in there and I'm telling her, and she goes, well, what do you do? And I said, well, my husband and I build these sets and we dress the sets. And, you know, I said, but I don't really know anything. I'm telling you, I don't know anything. It's a really bad idea. She said, you know, I think you could do this. And I was like, no, that's not the answer I'm looking for. You're supposed to say absolutely not. And she said, well, just come go through the floral school. And I said, well, the wedding's in 8 weeks and I have a 5-year-old and I'm 5 months pregnant with our daughter. And because the floral school was 16 weeks, it was 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. I said, I can't do that. I'm a stay-at-home mom. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, that's no problem. Just come 2 or 3 nights in the evening for 2 or 3 hours and I'll just take you through floral school like fast. So there you are.
And so how many weddings think you've done?
Oh gosh, probably. Well, we just completed our 34th year, April 1st. So I don't know. I don't know. Average amount of weddings per year is whatever that adds up to, 50 to 75. We had some years where we did 100.
Talking hundreds.
Yeah. So I don't know.
I just love, I mean, and when I say that everything is unique, and you, what all of you are so gifted at is being able to just hear someone, and we're going to get into this in just a moment, but hear someone's vision and get it into where it really is, into come to fruition. That is a gift. And, you know, you can use that gift in anything you do in life, because really, and, you know, creativity is just problem solving. I mean, it's making something out of nothing and being able to get there in your mind, but it's problem solving. So you had to solve a problem once. You were hired by our church and you thought you were hired to come in and manage the, you know, the graphics department.
Yes.
Or what's the real name of it? I mean,
well, it was creative team at the time. Now it's
yes.
Experience team, but
it's called, they changed the name of stuff. They love that, you know, to change the name. But so you were going to just kind of manage,
right?
And about that time, our lead graphic designer took a different job.
Yes. So I came into the church and I realized, oh, I actually still have to get all of these graphics done. And I knew very little. I knew a little bit about graphics because I kind of taught myself how to be a calligrapher, because I always loved handwriting. So I taught myself how to do wedding invitations. So I knew enough about graphic design programs, but not to the extent of what a church needs. Like, church needs a whole brochure or a whole pamphlet or a whole, so
for
yeah.
Kingdom
so
a 12 full color pamphlet for Kingdom
yes,
Builders.
Yes, exactly. No, and that's exactly what it is. And it's like, oh, wow. Okay.
And then we have feedback.
Yeah.
So
yes,
you own a company now because you do are a mom of 2 mm-hmm. very young children, but you freelance
yes,
and
yeah.
have a company. And I'm going to let you say that because she says it so beautifully.
So the name of the company is La Maison Papier. It's just the house of paper in French, but.
Yeah, so I'm from Alabama. We just say the house of paper. That would be the name of my company.
The house of paper.
And you do, now you do, like, you design for people's events.
Yes. So mostly, so I basically say I'm a wedding stationer. So wedding and corporate, though, I do a lot of corporate. People need business cards, that kind of thing. So
I've seen some of that. I mean, from beginning to end, from someone's event.
Well, yes, and signage as well. Because now I used to do like kind of like bits and pieces. If someone said, oh, I need one sign for like the day of, but now I just don't have enough time because I'm primarily a stay-at-home mom, that I say I have to take on the whole thing. So from start, you're save the date all the way through the signage at the end. So
that's so interesting. So I know that people are listening or watching thinking, oh, so somebody like does that for their whole job because we have paperless posts. Let me just tell you, your work, if you're going to go to all the trouble to have everything custom and you've done this very expensive event, you know, I've heard you say, I mean, if they're going to pick you, it's because they want excellent. They're totally picking professional all the way through. I mean, I'm all for paperless posts sometimes.
Oh, but, yeah. And sometimes people come to me and they say, this is our budget for stationery and day of, and it's definitely not enough. And I'm like, that's fine. Everyone has budgets for weddings. And so.
But that's not mine.
But that's not mine. Yeah. But yeah, but you can go to Minted. It's not me.
Okay, I have to say this. I mean, Jordan obviously is a whole lot younger than me, and I'm, you know, I'm a wannabe fashion person. It's hard to dress in style when you get older and not look like you're trying too hard. Like people look at you and go, oh, she's trying too hard. Like she's trying to look 25 or 30 and she really is 63. Somebody help her. But I'll send a picture of an outfit to Jordan and say, what shoes? And I love it that she just says, these shoes. And I buy those shoes. We did that for several, or I'll get your permission before I buy an outfit. Like when we launched the cookbook and I knew I was going to be on a stage in front of a lot of people. So then it really mattered. I said, what about this outfit? So if you don't like what I wore then.
It's on me.
But you have a knack. Like she has a very, very part-time job at Anthropology.
Yes.
Because she loves their discount. So she can dress how she wants to dress and still be a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah.
But you have an artistic flair, and we have all worked together on projects is what's interesting. Now, Jordan doesn't work at our church anymore, but we all work on a team for Flourish, which is it's our sisterhood, our women's ministry on top of other things. But we take events and make them, you know, go from nothing to something. And I'm thinking, I have so many thoughts going in my mind when you guys are talking, but so let's just start here. But all of you, what I'd like to know, what's the most common misconception about event planning? You all plan events, whether it's a major event at our church or for a corporate event at a hotel or someone's wedding Flourish. What is the most common misconception about event planning?
It's going to take more time than you think.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is the biggest. It usually takes probably about twice as long as what you were planning to execute it well.
It's never as easy as it looks.
No. It always takes more resources and more time and more labor than most people have any idea.
Yeah.
And I think the other biggest misconception is that they look at all the big things, not the small things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At my business, our mantra kind of is the wow is in the details.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. As you know, mm-hmm. as a calligrapher, it's the small things that make all the big things come together.
It's the shoes, for Pete's sake. I mean, you get the whole same thing we're talking about. You go to all that much trouble to get an outfit, and then you put your plain old shoes with it. Y'all can't see my shoes right now because I have on my Reef shoes that are just padded things. But the shoe, so you go to all the trouble. So it's the detail. I love that. So you're driving down the street right now and you're listening. Make sure you remember this, the wow is in the detail. That is in every part of our life. The wow is in the detail and the specific little thing. And we could use that phrase for everything in our life, for parenting, for marriage, for our walk with the Lord. You know, the wow is in the detail. So I'm going to take that for sure, and I'm not going to forget that. Jordan, what is the most common misconception about?
That people who put them on are creative people. That it's easy for them. That's so not true. There's every event I've ever done, every project I've ever taken on, there's some level of problem solving. And that's just, and it's not, and some people would be like, well, it's hard for me. It's like, yeah, it's hard for me too. It's not easy.
Well, because you design everything for Flourish, you know, our major conference and all the Flourish nights. Mm-hmm. So you have to sit in a room. You're in that room too when the experience team is talking about the event that's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And you're listening to all these people like you would a bride and a groom or a COO or whoever. And they're telling you, And they don't give you specifics. They're just saying, oh, I kind of like the idea of, like when I talked to you about the cookbook.
They never give you specifics.
I said to her with the cookbook, I want it to appeal to a younger crowd. Because I said, us older people, we like everything. We just want to be young. So appeal to the younger crowd. And she's got to take that and think, so what does that really mean? And I'm like, not like colors people would expect. And she's going, okay. So you're listening to someone in a meeting give you this info, and you're going 100 miles an hour, and you come back to them, and that's the beginning. To me, that's so hard. I walk in our church when there's something big going on or any event, and I pay attention to every detail because I know people are walking in going, oh, that's so beautiful. And they just kind of shrug and think they don't realize that was 100 hours getting to this point, or hundreds of hours and weeks getting to there. So I'm on the other side thinking a common misconception would be what you all have said. It's a lot harder than it looks. It's not easy for you. And you take it personal. You work so hard to get someone's dreams into reality. So there's not a fairy at the church that just, you know, sprinkles the fairy dust and makes it happen. You all serve at our church, volunteer. So none of you are paid to do what you do at our church, which is countless hours. In any church, 95% of what happens at anybody's church, can't speak for other organizations, but church, it's run by volunteers. Mm-hmm. Very small portion is run by a paid staff member. So this is what I love about all of you, and I really want to inspire people to think through this. If you have a gift, so you all have a specific gift, and I want people listening or watching to think about what it is that you what lights you up? What is a passion for you when you walk in a room? What are you critiquing when you walk in a room? Because that'll kind of tell what your passion is. If you walk in a room, for me, I'm like, there's no music. Because music was my thing. And I'm like, this is awful. I mean, there's no vibe. There's no music. And you guys are going, I know. And so, but you're looking at the flowers and you're looking at somebody's shoes or their invitation. But think about your gift. So what lights you up? What makes you passionate? You have given that. You donated that. So you do that for a living. You do charge a lot of money, and you could charge a lot of money, but you give that time to the church. And I know people think a lot. That is, I don't have time. I don't have time to volunteer for the church. I mean, I have a gift. I have an expertise, but I don't have time. I would love y'all to speak to that. How do you find time to do what you do for the church?
You make time. I don't think any of us have time. For the last event that we had for Flourish in February, I was up for I don't know how many hours every night and throughout the day too, making props and things for our Candyland theme.
We had a Candyland theme.
And I love it. It was my favorite
thing.
And
it was so cool. And we had a Candyland theme, but Jess, you made every little piece of candy
just about
that was going to be displayed. And it wasn't a little piece of candy. No. These are life-size, people-size pieces of candy that could be in an atrium. You or your team did all of that. One of our favorite things, I want to make sure we talk about this. One of my favorite creative elements we've done at our church was Easter a few years ago. Good Friday, crown of thorns, and Easter turned into this bloomed crown. And I can't explain it with words, so we're going to show you in pictures too. But where did that come from?
Well, Marion called me.
So Marion is a staff member at our church.
There's a prop we'd like for you to make. Can you make a 15-foot diameter crown of thorns? My heart stopped. I don't know how to do that. But then I remember a couple weeks before, Brian had told me that Joanne was interested in starting to help me make stuff at the church. So I found them at church. I was like, okay, guys, I have to make this giant crown of thorns, and I have no idea how to do it. And right away, she's like, oh, I know what to do. We have this trellis that we use from a wreath, and we can make these forms. And we worked, because we
did
that.
What did you make the forms out of?
Chicken wire. It was for chicken wire.
And then what was the brand? What were the thorns?
The thorns were rolled up poster board.
This is what I'm saying. We have to do stuff at our church on a budget, on a dime. literally, on the grand scheme of things. Like when they're charging for people's weddings and events, they can say, that's $10,000. At our church, they're going to say, you got
$1,000. Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah.
That's a lot of money. We didn't start with $1,000.
No, you have $300 just to put on an event for 300 people.
So literally, when I'm saying they pull events together, I mean on a limited budget, you pull events together. So you made the thorns. And people are looking at these pictures right now, but you made those thorns out of poster board, rolled up.
Cut them, hot glued them. And then Noah, who's another talented artist at our church, came in and highlighted it, and it really brought it to life.
So we are blessed. We have an artist in our city, and he's sought after all over the country. Yeah. And he is such a gift to our church. What he does, so it is... It's on every level. Noah Barnett's his name, and he's just this gift. And the same as you guys. And I really want to encourage people to, if you attend church, if you're listening and you attend a church and you park your booty in a seat every week, you should be serving somewhere, giving back a talent. Maybe you don't physically do something, but you can serve because you're friendly and you just love to talk to people. But somebody has something, you have a gift, and you so willingly give that. And you work with volunteers. So you have a team, you build teams of volunteers. What do you do if you get a volunteer like me who is really not good at making things, like crafty? What do you do with people like me?
Well, I will have you hang out and cut something and talk to people.
Yeah.
Because you bring the entertainment. I don't talk when I work. Yeah. So I need you.
I remember one time we were working on a women's thing, and it was last year.
The rainbow, where you had to cut plastic?
Yes. Yeah. Well, something with paper clips. What was it with paper clips?
Everyone had to come. Yeah.
It was paper clips.
Oh, there's been a few paper
clips. It was a paper clip thing recently, and Tammy and I finally, they just kind of worked us out of it. We had a project. Tammy Stillworthy and I had a project. They had us on the floor doing stuff, like making stuff. And I don't even know how it happened. But before I knew it, we weren't doing that anymore. And they had us stacking something. They didn't let us do creative things anymore because we weren't good at it. But everybody has something to give back. And I think that I just want to encourage people to give back. But so something that causes you to do that, though. And it's a love for your church, but it starts, and we all know this, but maybe someone listening does not, because you have a passion, for Jesus. You serve Christ. You're all Christians. You serve Christ. And so many times he, you know, instructs us in his word to do things for people, to give back. And we ask people to do that all the time at church. So your passion, did you just all of a sudden start working or volunteering at the church, or did you ask someone? I mean, how does someone get involved at a place where, I mean, it's like if I didn't know you were good at something, how do they do that?
Well, I always knew I wanted to make stuff, but I was so busy spending all my time coaching because I was a high school volleyball coach. And I did that for the first year and a half that I had Lucy. And then I got pregnant again. And I thought, there's no way I can do this anymore. And that's when I started serving in the women's ministry. I went to a women's event and they asked if anybody was interested in volunteering to stay after. So I stayed after. And that's how I got to start making things. Mm-hmm. And like through that, it's interesting because I enjoy making stuff to bless people. Mm-hmm. When you give them something that just sparks that little bit of wonder in them again, mm-hmm. and that distracts them maybe from whatever kind of day they may have had. Mm-hmm. But in that, through my time, God has blessed me in so many ways. You know, it's a full circle.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
And I think it's wherever you serve in the church, whether it's even in childcare. We serve in childcare check-in. And yes, it's a long day, right? You have to get there at 8 o'clock in the morning and it's lots of babies and you're there through everything. But the conversations that you're able to have with the people and with the visitors, mm-hmm. and when they say, wow, this is a great place, it's a blessing to serve.
And I know with Brian and Joanne, all the years I've known you, when you've done something at our church, you never just do what it is that you volunteered to do, you were asked to do. To a fault sometimes, you go over and above on everything you do, everything, for anything, for someone's wedding, for their event, and especially at church. If someone asks for something, you you go the extra mile. Talking about the extra mile, you've always done that. Your husband's always done that. And I feel like that translates to your children because, you know, we love both of your children so much, both Chris and Aaron. And Aaron has moved now, but Chris is in town and he's on staff at our church. And your daughter-in-law is on staff at our church. And it trickles down. So your kids are still small, but you're living at the church during events when you're there all the time serving and the kids see you serving at church. It's just natural that your children, they're going to do that too. You saw, I'm sure, your parents always serving. And so your sister serves at her church. I mean, she goes to Union City where my youngest son is a pastor in D.C. And you guys just serve.
Yeah.
I don't know that you would know anything else to do.
I know that because I was thinking, I'm like, how do you get to serve? I'm like, I just started. And I'm like, I did production because I was like, oh, that sounds fun. They said they needed help with that, so I'll do
and
that.
And that's in a little cave at our church.
Yes, yeah. Me and my husband used to be in the cave in our church doing production.
Before you got married, were you in the cave?
No, we were already married. No.
I'm really glad to hear that.
Well,
you both thought we're behind the scenes people.
Yes, yeah.
So we'll just go back here and run the slides and grab the lyrics to the song.
Well, my husband, he's Brandon and Delaney's, Delaney's brother, and he was involved at Wake, and he was like, they're making me do something. No, just kidding.
My family's gonna make me volunteer. Yeah.
And I remember he greeted people at the front doors for a little while, and then a few weeks he was like, they don't want me to be doing that. I don't want to be doing that.
I'm not a greeter.
I'm not a greeter. And if you guys know my husband, you'd be like, yeah, he's not a greeter. Yeah. But then we were like,
he's an amazing real estate person. Yeah. He sells corporate or commercial real estate in the best way. But he's not going to be the lead greeter at your event.
We were like, and I was doing production. And I was like, just come into the cave. You'll be good at that. And so I started there. And that was before I even worked at the church. And so I was just willing. And then I think I was just a willing volunteer. So I think when Dustin needed to hire someone, he was like, she loves the church. She would be a great person to hire. And since then, I don't work at the church anymore, but I still love the church. I would say I'm fulfilling my calling more because I'm not paid.
And you're so into the events that we have.
Oh, yes.
And
I love them.
It's amazing.
I mean, I love
it. And your husband plays the keyboard. Yeah. He plays main keys once a month at the church because they switch off helping so one can watch kids and when they're serving. But he's in front of people, but he doesn't have to talk to them.
Yeah, exactly.
So that works out. And my son that's married to Jess, he's a pharmacist. And he helps her. They work with he's a board member at our church, and he helps with kids check-in.
Yeah, I was like, and he's at kids check-in.
And he's at kids check-in. And so
yeah,
and everybody. So you guys are involved. Your spouses are involved. Your kids want to be at church. Even little Margo, she's three, and she wants to go to church.
I was so excited to tell her we signed up for Summer Bash because she's been asking since last Summer Bash, when are there going
to
be slides in the church again?
She wants to go to slides.
Yeah, every week she's like, there's no slides here. And I'm
she remembers
once a year.
I just think that's, I hope that we get that point across really clear because what we do, our kids will mimic. And so it's great that we have other interests and we fine to do things outside the church. But when it's all said and done, I wanted my sons to want to be at church more than they wanted to be anywhere else. And I feel that way about my grandchildren, nine of them. And they do. They all would rather be at church than anywhere. They spend their free time there. They serve. They all serve. So you're setting examples. And Joanne's a grandma. And your kids, your grandkids are there all the time, and it's what we want. And that's what drives us, because that's a question I have that I wanted to ask is what drives you to spend countless hours doing something for free that you would? I've answered a lot of that, but you probably are thinking of something I haven't said, but what drives you? And I see the hours, and it gets stressful at times. When we get down to a deadline, it's a stressful thing. Like, I still don't know why. I had a meeting with you about doing that cookbook, and I don't even know why you said yes. And I know you didn't realize. I said it'll be about 100 pages.
Yeah.
And it was 250 pages. It was triple the size we thought it would be. But what motivates you to say yes for free, to give all this time that you could charge thousands of dollars for?
I think you never know what kind of impact you're going to have on somebody. Mm-hmm. So for the Flourish conference that we had 2 years ago, I felt like we needed to have the theme come alive. We talked about it, like, mm-hmm. you know, in the very front, we were going to have the atrium being like a desert scene, like a dry, barren desert. And as we walked through, it was going to come alive with these beautiful flowers and floral arrangements. And what's amazing is that I had a friend during that time who had lost her baby, and she was in a very dark spot, which, you know, I don't ever want to imagine.
SIDS or something.
Yeah, he was 5 weeks old. He was 5 weeks old. She nursed him at night and went back in the morning, and he wasn't there. So, and that was her first child. And it was just coming out of COVID. So things were already kind of weird around that time anyways.
It's a whole time to have a baby.
It was terrible. But she actually ended up coming to church. She came to that Flourish conference, even though she hadn't been going to church and she just didn't want to leave her home.
So that was several years ago she lost the baby.
Yes.
That was in... She came to this past Flourish conference in 23.
And no, this was 22. 22. And in 22, God started healing her. Her anxiety stopped. She was able to function again and have hope again.
She couldn't leave her house. She was... I mean, that's the grief beyond no comparison.
Right.
I would imagine till was a child. That was a grief that can shut you down.
In a couple of months after that, she shared with her husband that she was ready to try to have another child. And so this last December, they welcomed their baby girl, and she came to Flourish Conference again in 2023, and God completely healed her from all stress, all anxiety at that moment. And now she's grown in her walk with God. She shared her testimony at our last event in February. And so I think that's why. Because you don't know, it might seem like a simple event, or it might just seem like something that doesn't matter, but I think God can work through that.
So come alive, because that's what you said. That was our theme. Was that 22?
That was 22.
How did I think it was last year? All the years go together. But you, I just reiterate, the walking in our front foyer was desert land.
It was dry.
Dry, barren. And you had... I mean, you're thinking of people when you're creating, you're thinking of people, and you're thinking, who's going to walk in that's in a dry, barren land? So people are walking in not thinking that someone has labored over what the theme is going to be, because it's going to affect someone, even subliminally. Then they turn the corner and come into, you know, florals and brightness, and not even realizing that that was so intentional. So creativity is really intentional. It's not like just throwing, you know, something up in the air, and wherever it lands, it lands. It's so intentional. Creativity requires so much intentionality and specific. Maybe that's why where your biology degree comes in. Everything is so...
I loved math and science. And I knew I was always creative from the time I was little. And when I would take those church questionnaires, that's what I would get, craftsmanship. And I'm like, why am I getting craftsmanship when I don't know how to make anything? I didn't get it. But I think God had to prepare me through that.
Every creative thing needs math.
Yes.
What motivated you from the beginning? It still motivates you. Why did you suffer 40 years?
I don't know. Especially this.
Volunteering major events.
No, I think it's because... I think it's because God has blessed me in my life and my family. I was raised in a family that always wanted to glorify and bring glory to God. And when you do that, the other purpose we were put on the earth for was to bless others. Mm-hmm. And my parents said, our Father and Jesus our Lord gave their very best, and they give their best to us every day. Mm-hmm. Why would you give anything else to anyone else? Mm-hmm. He created everyone. So, I think for me, it's a matter of doing your best to glorify God. But when things are really amazing and you have an experience, it creates a memory. It creates a feeling. And you want everything you do should point someone toward God or toward your Lord Jesus.
That's really good.
I get asked a lot. Sometimes by clients who are not treated well by other people in the industry, and they don't have the same beliefs we have. And And they say, well, God always gives me an opportunity. They always say, well, we love everything you do and you listen to us and you care about us. What makes you like that? What makes you treat us like no one else treats us? And the door swings wide open. Mm-hmm. And I get to share.
Okay, and I'll add this. So, Joanne, we all know that Joanne's a cancer survivor. Mm-hmm. And there was a period of time where you couldn't use that gift.
Yeah.
And honestly, God did a miracle. I mean, he really, truly brought you from death to life. Speaking of come alive, that was not a fun journey. And what's so cool, though, is as you healed and came through that, I think you came out with a fury. You came out, and I just as watching from the outside, I feel like that you said, okay, God, you gave me an additional chance at life. And I'm gonna go hard. I'm gonna even do it, you know, glorify you more than I ever did. You're on the second row of church every single Sunday. You're one of the biggest worshipers I know, and you've walked through truly recently, a deep valley. And I feel like watching you and looking at you, I feel like you glorify God because you have a story to tell, and you can tell it through your creativity, mm-hmm. through what you do. Because like you said, Jess, when people walk in an event, they can't even put words to why they know something's really amazing, but they know it is, and God's doing the work, and that was you. So cool. Jordan, what do you think? What motivates you? What drives you?
I think two things. The first is just, I believe in the power of the church. I don't have time to spend all this time to do something that's not paid if I didn't believe in it. I'm like, I really believe when people walk into the church, they can feel the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit is, in the beginning, God created. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit is creativity. Mm-hmm. God, if you look outside,
He created something
from nothing. Everything's beautiful. And so, if in my own little way I can help make some part of the church a little more beautiful, then I feel like that can really speak to someone, especially if they're not a Christian, because mm-hmm. people appreciate excellence, even if you're not a Christian. So I think when they go into something and they come with a guest that said, oh, come to this Flourish night or come to whatever, and they're not a Christian, they can still appreciate beauty and excellence, and they don't realize that that's actually God, you know?
It's their first impression.
Yes, it's their first impression. And that is a godly trait.
I totally agree with everything you're saying. Boy, time goes by really quick. We're gonna have to end the podcast soon, but I wanted, just for people that think, okay, but you guys are so amazing and I feel the same way. And I need you to help us here at the end of this podcast for we people that say we're not creative. What is your one? I just want one. Your best hack, your best DIY hack, something we could use to add flair to something, an event, a dinner. It can be any hack. We only have a minute, but what's your best hack of all?
You're not going to like my answer, but it's Pinterest. What I do. There are so many tutorials, even if you're not crafty or creative, are so many videos, and YouTube that just show you how to do something in Dollar Tree.
Well, okay. Just yesterday, this is not creative, but sort of is. My husband's out of town and my garage door opener stopped working. So I Googled it and it said it was the battery. So I went over to Walgreens, got a battery, and the whole thing just fell apart when I opened it up and I was going, oh my gosh, I'm having to watch another YouTube video on how to put it back together. So I put it on backwards and all that. And then it said, go down and push the button. Well, I went down and pushed the button, nothing. So then I kept again, another YouTube video, and they said, if nothing happens when you change the battery, you got to get a ladder and go up to your garage door opener and pull it down, take it apart, and click that. I went, oh, I can't do it. I thought, okay, you have no choice. Your husband's out of town. You have to get the car in the garage. So I did it. I got the YouTube video, and I got it up there on the ladder, and I have the thing, and I'm going. The only thing I didn't anticipate, it all worked. I clicked once, and it bumped, beep, beep, and I clicked again, and it said the third time it'll come on. It did. I almost cut my hand off with that spinny thing. And Galen, my husband, said last night on the phone, I said, Kay, I've seen where they say that's happened, they've got their hand caught in those, couldn't even call 911, and couldn't get down off the ladder because their hand's stuck in the thing. Anyway, be careful with those YouTube videos. But it's what you're saying. Find a video.
Find a tutorial. And it's okay to make mistakes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're going to make mistakes. And that's how you learn and grow.
Yeah. You take everything and you bougie it up.
That's true.
A lot of the times it's through trial and error, but mistakes. Like something won't work as planned, and then you have to just stop and think, all right, what do I have?
Why don't you guys start making videos when you do one of these events? So
we don't have time for that.
Well, I'll get you some filming people. Because wouldn't it be fun, though, to take our big event, to document it and to help other churches and to say, because we give away so much of our stuff at our church. Yeah. We want everybody to have all the ideas, but it's hard sometimes in a picture to show what we did. So just Pinterest and YouTube videos.
Yeah.
Really, we're in that world now. Joanne, best hack.
I would say if it's a dinner party or something that's a little bit, we'll just say you have to be on the elegant side, but adding candles to almost any event will elevate it.
Yeah.
I would say add candles.
That's so good. There we go. This is what people want to hear.
And
YouTube videos, Pinterest, add candles.
Candles, and if you can, because you can really buy it cheap on Craigslist or Facebook or Etsy, get some beautiful glassware. Glassware really elevates a table if you're doing a tablescape.
Right, mine came from Target, which you're drinking out of right now.
So, and it doesn't have to be expensive. You can find something really beautiful that someone else doesn't want.
That's great.
Do you know what I mean? You don't have to go out and buy and spend a bunch of money.
Joanne knows how to set a table. I've been to dinners at your home. She knows how to set a table. I love that. Candles and pretty glassware.
Yeah.
Wherever you get it from.
Expensive.
Yard sales.
Yeah.
Facebook Market.
Doesn't have to match.
That's true.
Oh. Doesn't have to match. That goes all over my OCD self. But
so mine kind of has to do with Joanne's, but this is from my mom. So my mom is Susan. She never uses paper plates. Ever uses paper plates. She never uses paper plates. And so now I just know I can't, because I'm like, I hear her voice in my head. Don't use a paper plate. But the dishes are worth it. I say, because for some reason it really elevates.
And you can also get dishes.
Yeah.
Some are inexpensive.
Yeah, you really can. Or I have a set of Anthropologie dishware, and there was a time when I couldn't really afford, even with my discount, much of it. Every week I'd get like two plates.
So
literally, like every 2 weeks,
I
would
collect it.
Yeah, just collect it. And then now I have almost like, I think 24 of these beautiful plates. They're from Anthropologie, but I'm like, and that's what I use every time. I don't have a ton of them, or different types, but like every
Your
time
mom
people come
is
over.
Very particular. She does a beautiful place set
yes,
too.
Yeah.
If people are listening and they saw the podcast early on in the series with Lisa Young, she did say she's just a design, amazing person, hospitality. But she did say, you can order beautiful paper goods online now. If you're at a place
yeah,
where you truly can't
Actually,
do it,
yeah,
you can
true.
Theme it.
Yeah.
She said, she said, if you're having a pizza party, don't just get paper plates, theme it. You can bougie it up.
Yes.
One, you know, and I have my mom's china and my china, and I think all the time, I should set that out. But then that means we have to do the dishes. And I get all wicked. Because, you know, my husband and I hand wash our dishes. We don't put them in the dishwasher. We're weird. But anyway, I love that. I feel very, very convicted to get my dishes out.
Yeah.
And set the
cloth
table.
Napkins too.
Well, we're recording this on a Monday.
Yes.
We're recording this on a Monday, which means family dinner's at our house tonight. We are having family dinner.
Paper plates.
I prepped it all. I wasn't going to have dinner tonight because I thought I'm recording podcasts, but I prepped it all yesterday. I still just have to make dessert, but we're still going to do it. So I feel like maybe I'll light some candles. You guys are a gift. To me personally, but a gift to our church. And I feel like that people you work with, they can feel who you are and that your love for Jesus shows in the excellence what you do stuff and your love for his church, the church, Big C Church, that you want to help, you know, whoever you can. And what an example you are about a gift of creativity, how you can use it to bring glory to God and point people the way to him. I feel like that's what you do. I'm so grateful that you guys said yes. I know your busy schedule. I know you had to get sitters for your kids and you've got jobs going on. We're trying to open a campus at our church. I know. So we have a lot happening and really, Jordan and Joanne and just thank you for saying yes. And, to being on Table Talks with me. And I just hope it helps someone and helps them to be able to use their gift. Thanks, you guys, very, very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me today on Table Talks. For more content and information about upcoming episodes, please visit my website at kwoodward.com. You can also explore other podcast links and resources there. Until next time.